It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here, and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m., 1 p.m. Central Standard Time on the RBN Network from Phoenix, Arizona, here at the beautiful studios of Freedoms, with an S, Phoenix.com. And they are. We have beautiful studios here, video studio, radio studio. We got going on. You know, we started this January. We started building this facility, but we have printing presses, T-shirts, silk screening, a wood workshop and metal workshop and welders and all kinds of, and a kitchen and there. And it's all one big giant warehouse area about, I don't know, about 3,600 square feet or something that we just kind of carved up and did whatever we want because we could. We needed to. We had to have a place because I got this, you know, thing in the summer. I got this air conditioning need going on. You know, we're always having to do activism in the summer. Donna, how long have we been doing this?
20 years.
And every summer we're out doing what?
Working.
In the heat. In the summer, you know, sidewalk egg frying heat.
It's a labor of love.
And, I didn't love that part. So we're just going, man, we're going to keep doing this. We need to get us a facility. Well, this is our fourth one. Usually we do it around an issue, you know, or a campaign or something. We're going to make a point. And then just so the amping up of this police state thing, just, you know, what's going on in the disintegration of America, you know, because I don't care about America. America! Oh, America. You know, I don't care about that. You know, I'm for, you know, which entity is supporting individual freedom? Where's that at? You know, they, of course, they want you to have this, your football team. They want you to wear the jersey. They only want you to wrap yourself in the flag. Now, as if that was a, you know, this concept of freedom. You know, I'm like, since when? You know, and they always go, oh, you want to go do away with them? No, I don't. I don't care. Can I not care that much? You know, can I just ignore them? Am I allowed to ignore? You know, if I'm not allowed to ignore you, boy, you're really a bad guy. I'm good. You go over there. I don't want to, you know, even like Ron Paul says, he does it really well. He goes, I don't have to eliminate the Fed. I just want to allow competition. He'll go away all by himself. Let's go ahead and go to Carol in Missouri. Carol, I got you there. What you been doing?
Hello there. I just want to tell you thank you for your inspiration. And I wanted to let you know what I'm doing. I've got my American flag upside down on my well house. We live on Highway 76, which is a very busy road. I've got a flu shot poison sign on my well house also.
Ah, good for you.
And that's the school kids' bus that goes by our house.
Oh.
So I would think that that's pretty inspirational.
Absolutely.
And then I've got Ron Paul's sign still up because I want people to know that I'm supporting him yet in any way possible.
Thank you very much. You know, good for you. You know, good.
What? Go ahead.
No, they're going to push the button. You got like 40 seconds before they push the button, but go ahead and finish your thought.
I just, your inspiration just spurs me on constantly. So I thank you so much.
You know, I'll tell you what it is. Once you start doing it, you'll see how infectious it is for other people. Plus, it helps you maintain your own sanity.
That's the fact.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Carol. Yeah, we'll get to David in New Mexico when we come back. We'll be right back here. It's 800-313-9443. We'll be back in just a little bit.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We'll take some calls today, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And, yeah, I know, I keep putting it off. We'll get to the Arizona Breakfast Club, what we learned this week, I know. Don't you just hate when hosts do that? My wife does. I know everybody does. But, you know, in the archive, you can sit, you can speed it forward. But we'll get to it. It's important stuff. And, let's go ahead and go to David in New Mexico. Go ahead, David.
Well, Ernie, you were talking a moment ago about how you are not part of the controlled media, which I appreciate dearly. I used to be a part of the news media. I was even a small-town newspaper editor for a while. Got to bump shoulders with the people who own entire chains of media, newspapers, and broadcasting stations. And I got fed up. There was no room for an honest man in that business, I felt, so I quit.
No, I can understand why.
But I think we're at a very critical juncture here. You know, you and I, we've got to enjoy the freedom that the Internet gave us. But I'm afraid the way the situation is going, and you know, legislation has been moving in this direction to control or even shut down the Internet if Obama feels that's desirable.
You know, one thing. There's always been that threat. And I'll tell you, when I first started doing my radio show, as a morning show here in Phoenix, and out of a station in Scottsdale. And there was a story that came up where they shut off Libya, the entire country of, you know, Libya, Gaddafi guy, all right, North Africa there. Yeah. And they just shut it off. They turned it off. And then you remember just a couple of years ago that they severed some fiber optic lines in the Mediterranean that totally shut off, like India and a bunch of the Middle East and all kinds of stuff. Just boom. And they go, oh, an anchor got drug across it. And they go out and they go, no, it didn't. This was cut. This was an operation. So I'm going, you depend so much on this, and you start to realize entire economies and countries can just be turned off, and they have the capacity to localize, the Internet sees a break in communication as censorship, or censorship as a break in communication, and routes around it, but they have different speeds at which they can do that. And do these nodes go fiber optic, or do they go with phone lines, or do they do satellite, all of these, and they make sure they pass a law, because a lot of people don't know the Internet is Department of Defense. That's DOD projects, like the interstate system.
They created the thing.
So they go, yeah, Al Gore built it. So what happened is that they got, according to him, so they have all of this information, but it runs through, I think somebody was telling me it's like 16 nodes, and they have the switch. If they need, it was a disaster, it was a terrorist thing. The Islamofascism did it. They did it. Islamofascism. They did it. So when that happens, is it game on? I mean, game on what? Game on where? It
well,
starts to become local.
What I'm concerned about is when it comes time, as you say, the revolution will not be broadcast. When they shut things down, we're going to need to know who our friends are and have some alternate means of communication lined up. And we may not be able to use phone service or fax when that happens either.
You know, I put up, it was just a couple of weeks ago, I put up on the site a Google search. You go and you do a Google search on CB and ham radios, and there was a Google search had all these businesses that you can go to and get it. And that was the link I put up. It didn't pick any particular one. I just put a picture of radios, we're going to have to get to this. And I put it up as a link, and somebody wrote me an email going, well, the link only goes to a search of all these places. I go, yeah, you need to start shopping. So, that was the point I was trying to make. I go, it's not. I don't care what radio you buy or what you use with it. You're just going to need to have alternate communication because the end is nigh. So it's been something. I remember we were in the mid-90s when this was really amping up and they're going after the militias and all this kind of police state stuff was happening then. They were communicating with ham radios. A lot of guys were. And they even had these walkie-talkies that you could, so-and-so go, okay, blah, 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 on the patch, and you dial on it. You can actually dial a phone number from a ham radio. know, these walkie-talkies, and they go out open over the air, but you could dial into a phone line. And I go, wow, that's kind of cool. Then they showed that where you could transmit data, like you have a phone modem, you know, and it connects, AOL kind of thing, or a fax. Well, you can do that same kind of transmission of digital information over a ham radio, so you can do email on your computer using ham radios. And I go, really? Very interesting. I think we should learn about it. What do you think, David?
Well, I think, as you say, the time is nigh. I really can't see how things can continue the way they're going much longer, and it's all going to break down, and we're all going to be needing to be like rabbits and finding a hole to duck into before somebody draws a bead on our tail.
You know, and a lot of people see that as like a bad thing, and I'm going, I don't have to fight these guys. I just have to survive them.
Yep.
Man, I'm not about fighting them. I don't care. You know, I just want to survive them. So, but where do you survive? I mean, if they come knocking on your door and they're coming in with a government elixir and a needle that's going to, you know, plunge into your body and that of your family, I might have something to say about it.
The big question right now, the standoff or the stalemate, is based on who will show their hand first. And we, as you say, it's not prudent for us to do that. But the other side also is worried about how they appear on the national stage, the world stage. They don't want to look like they're coming after us either.
Oh, they're getting slapped around. It's like Obama going, trying to get the Olympics, and he's the first one eliminated.
Yeah.
They don't love us no more. I don't think they even understand that. So, the people that are going to show their hand first, I want to bring this up. This was a good point. There was a big internet push at all the people that were on their list. Okay. I'm sure this is kind of whatever list was generated by the Southern Poverty Law Center kind of stuff. We got a list here. Tell them that we took out Henry Paulson. Henry Paulson is dead. The militia done took him out. We're going to rise up. We're going to rise up now. We got Paulson. Yeah. The American militia, guerrilla resistance, de la blah, 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 blah. And you go to these websites and all it is just a link to, you know, another website or an email you send or what. And the email was guerrilla resistance at, you know, revolution, whatever the heck it was. And I kept getting these and I just ignore them. I'm like, whatever, you know, yeah, fine, cool. Like I care, you know, so you took out Paulson. Then what? You know, so what? Heck, I'd rather have him around to, you know, sweat the boy. You know, come on. You know you want to tell us what's going on. You know, there's no fun taking him out. It's like a train track. You're looking down the rails of infinity of guys just like him, one after another, serving
up. If I had my dream, all these SOBs would stand a very public, nationally televised trial and execution.
Well, it was called the Nuremberg trials, you know. So I you know, would they survive war crime trial? That was one thing that they were very adamant about in the Bush administration, was passing legislation making them immune from such things.
You know? Oh, of course.
So, and of course, we don't join the world court or anything like I need them anyway. That's, you only tell you what the court is, American people, that's a court. But the I don't have any desire to be the guy at the lever of the guillotine. I mean, I just don't care. I mean, it's like work. I got to waste calories even pulling the lever. I don't care. I just don't want to be in the line. I'm not going to advocate for anybody in the line for the guillotine, but there's going to be a line. And I just, you know, am I allowed not to care? But the thing is that they wanted to out all these people. Yeah, you got Paulson, right on, let's go get the rest of them. It was a psyop. It was a information gathering thing. You know, as Paulson showed up in the last month or two, I don't know, maybe they did get him. I didn't even care. You know, it's like, it's so inconsequential to me. I just don't. Am I allowed not to care? I don't care. It's not individuals. It's an entire, it's us. We have allowed this to happen. And the only glimmer of hope has been this movement and education understanding that's wrapped around Ron Paul's effort. Because he's been screaming this same stuff for 30 years.
Uh-huh.
35 years.
And the thing is, like you said, it all comes down to the fact there's two kinds of people, those who want to be left alone and those who will not leave them alone. And like a lot of people say, well, I'm not interested in politics. Well, I agree with that, and I kind of sympathize with that. But the thing is, the people in politics won't leave us alone.
I know, but it comes down to, you know, how do we do this? I'm for surviving it. You know, it's getting to, in the past week, Donna will tell you, you know, I just got this sense of doom. You know, it's just, I'm like, you know, is it some chemical thing I'm getting? Am I starting to get older? Is it, you know, male menopause? I mean, and, you know, what is it? Am I starting to, you know, what's happening? I mean, I just need to take a weekend and relax with my family and kind of chill and get a perspective. And worry is an emotion that tells you you need to do something. I don't worry that much. I sleep very well. You know, me and my sleep's buddies. Okay. Me and sleep are buddies. And I'm going, and the reason I can sleep is because when I worry, when I'm anxious about something, when I got some anxiety, it just means I have to do something. And I'm and that's where this I have to do something. That's where this action saving first responders here in Phoenix. We're going to advocate for them not to have to get this shot. You know, because that's where it starts. That's the tip of the spear. As they push it in, all these guys are going to coerce into this. So I'm they see it. They know that somebody listening to this show that, you know, it's his job, you know, for the government, you know, whatever. Here it comes. What are you going to do about it? You better hurry up because I'm going to be calling, you know, the PIO here, you know, as soon as the show's over.
You
know,
I got to be vigilant.
You know, so hey, thanks for the call, Dave. It's always good to talk to you, man. Let's go ahead and go to Gary in California. Go ahead, Gary.
And the one thing that you guys were concerned about, of course, was them closing down the internet, including myself. And
well, they've done it. I mean, they've done it in the past. I mean, entire countries have been shut off for extended period of time. It's not like they can't.
Yeah, they can. And the only reason Ron Paul's message has gotten out so much in this later times is the internet. That's why the message has gotten out. And I would like to bring to everybody's attention. When Reagan was in office, who everybody seems to adore all the time.
Gary, let's go ahead and hold you over. They're going to push the button. Can you hold for just a moment?
Sure.
All right, we'll just go. We'll have you first up when we come back in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, how do you want to change the world? I want to change the world. Gary in California, how do you want to change the world, man?
Well, I didn't change it. It was like I was getting ready to state that Reagan did. And the way he did it was at one time, it used to be you could only, I think, only own one radio station, a corporation, whatever, or man, a person, could only have one radio station. Reagan walked in there, took that regulation, which stopped monopolies, away, bragging about it, and then, of course, here in San Diego, about 10 stations, Rockefeller came in here under corporate covers and bought them all. So they're all owned by one individual. Now one individual owns almost all radio stations or media across this country.
You know, but how do you think it is that that happened? I mean, you know, my thing is this. I am not worried about how many radio stations somebody owns as long as I can own one. You know, what they did is they eliminated competition. When you do the licensing, they say, yes, anybody can have them, and we get to say who they are. And I'm going, you know, can I have one? No. So that's where the internet comes in. That's why our entire studio, everything's set up. I mean, we are broadcast on, you know, this network and another network and other affiliates and all that kind of stuff. But the whole reason I built this was in no anticipation of being on a network that would go to affiliates. It was for the internet. And the thing was, is a lot of people will complain. They'll say, well, Ernie, you're missing a big demographic of an older generation that doesn't use the internet like, you know, the 20-somethings do. And I'm sorry, I mean, not to be, you know, discourteous, but so freaking what? You're brainwashed anyway, most of them. You know, I'm not worried about the generation older than me. I'm 48. I'm grandpa. I am literally a grandpa now. So I'm like grandpa in this thing. And I go, you know.
You're just a kid.
I'm just a kid. You know, but still, you know, older generation, they're still in the system. They're locked in. We're gonna use the Constitution's gonna save us. Yeah, how's that been working out for you? You know, I'm going, no, it has nothing to do with that. They're so the We Are Change kids. They are so outside of this lamestream media, the media last century, I don't care about government-regulated, licensed, controlled media. That's not where it's going to happen. We were doing our own newspaper called Citizens Take an Initiative that later became the Arizona Libertarian and then, you know, the Western Libertarian Alliance newspaper. We started that back in 92-3. And we've been doing this kind of, it evolved all the way, the progression in the radio show and Freedom's Phoenix and so on. We had Freedom's Phoenix concept, exactly what you see up there. Freedom's with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. That concept was 1996. The logo, the idea, the graphics, we just didn't have bandwidth. There's no, you just couldn't, I go, when they start doing video on the internet, which was 2005, I remember it was June 2005, I started seeing video on the internet. Boom, done, go. Pull the trigger, here we come. And now we have 70, 80,000 headlines in there. And that's why Freedom of Speech is so popular. We have, you know, the Bush administration archived of everything that they've done, you know, over this past. It's a great research tool for, like, homeschoolers and so on. But what happens when they cut access to this information? What happens when they say, they call it net neutrality? You're going to have different levels of access. You know, is your site, you know, have full access or whatever? Then you say AOL, which is CIA, might as well be. You know, AOL is out there, you know, limiting what you can get access to. Some people's websites, even the writers on Freedom's Phoenix, they don't have access on different ISPs. You can't go to their site.
The people my age, you know, I'm almost 68, and I talk to, of course, a lot of people my age and people I grew up with, and they're mainly what you would call in the circles conservative, a lot of, you know, libertarian-like, and, you know, we just want to be left alone. And what's happening is a lot of us are getting stirred up here saying, wait a minute, these guys are coming in here wanting to take my stuff. I mean, I was forced back into divorce court from a case from 20 years ago, and they come in there and They actually stole from me. I said, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this. You know, here I'm an old man, and this court system is agitating me and stealing my stuff. So a lot of us, you know, got to get a lot of old people. For instance, we're in D.C. A lot of those were old people. Yes, you're right. A lot of us aren't computer-wise because we weren't trained. We were trained to read. We were trained to listen to the radio. And a lot of us have been forced into getting a little bit computer savvy so we can listen to Ernest Hancock and some of the other people that are out there. But what's happened, and I could see the same thing happening in a computer, is the enemy, as I call them, came in, overtook all of these ways of media, and they own it, and they put the media out there that they want out there.
You know, that was one thing that was in the movie For Liberty. Mary Ruart out of Texas, she was she's a big libertarian activist and candidate for various things. And she said, you know, there's a lot of, you know, untruth out in the internet, but the truth is out there. And that's one thing that's, you know, different. You know, people, they seek the truth, and then when they find it, they share it with their friends. And it gets out there. They've been so adamant in their repression of information that it just was a dam that was built up with this entire reservoir of desire out there. And the dam is breaking and it's flowing through not just America, the entire planet. People are communicating directly with each other. Hey, thanks for the call, Gary. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Solution here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock. It's let me think. I forgot for a second. Well, yeah, freedom. That's what it was. I just remembered. You know, let's go ahead and go to Gene in Maine. Yeah, go ahead, Gene.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon here. First of all, let's see, gold is exploding right now. It's approaching 1,020 an ounce right now. and the dollar is dumping. You've been wanting to talk about what you wanted to talk discussed at the Breakfast Club this past Saturday, and I would encourage people to go to Freedom's Phoenix, Freedom's with an S, phoenix.com, and there's a link on there that someone put on, expert on structured finance and derivatives, a woman named Janet Tavakoli. And I would encourage you to contact her to be a possible guest.
Because is it on the front page now?
It's on the front page right now.
Okay. You know, I think I got an email from Powell on that saying, you should have this person as a guest.
Well, the thing is, she explains it so well that, you know, someone who might not have a grasp of financial terminology.
Oh, yeah, gold is skyrocketing. Oh, my goodness, let's take a look at silver. What's that doing? Oh! Oh! The end is nigh, man. You know, wow. You know, it's so much stuff. You know, stay right there. I wanted to tell you something, Gina, the audience, while I was off air, I was dealing with this. I've been trying to, you know, kind of work with this Phoenix Police Department thing. And I got hold of the public information officer. His name's James Holmes. And I go, so who are we going to work with as we do this thing? We're going to be protecting. He goes, oh, no, we don't work with anybody. I go, all right, let me put it this way. Who wants to be informed of all the stuff we're going to do? Oh, that would be me. I'm like, oh, that's what I thought. Okay. So now you got to call the Phoenix Police Union, you know, because what it's going to come down to is of the thousands of officers, there's going to be one guy. Can I, you know, I don't want to take the shot and I don't want to be punished for it. I mean, you know, so we're going to, you know, somebody's going to be a poster boy or girl. You know, here it comes. And I go, look, you know, Ramirez will tell you, guys that we worked with before, I go, they'll tell you. If I say I'm going to do it, it's done. So what's going to happen? And he goes, well, we haven't even got the vaccines yet. They're on the way, but there hasn't been a policy set. We haven't, you know what? We kind of, you know, I guarantee you they already know what it is. They just haven't told you. And if they haven't told you yet, it's something you don't want to hear. I guarantee you that. If they were going to be all kinds of wonder, we love you and you're going to love us for. They were already told us. They're going to wait till the last minute, and here it comes. And I'm going, so I'm preempting this. Because I've been down this road before. I know where this is going.
Well, I agree. I agree.
Okay, now let me go ahead and let's get back to what you were talking. I wanted to finish that. Let's go. Yeah, where on the front page is it? If I go down, how far?
Let's see. Go down as far as the link for a
What's
Dave
the headline?
Show.
What's the headline?
Expert on structured finance and derivatives. Rampant fraud and Ponzi scheme caused crisis.
There it is. Okay, I got it. Cool. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I'll get to that. You know, one other thing I whizzed by here, when they were doing the G20 thing, there was somebody, I saw on the G20, they had put up there where they had the radio scanners of the police. And so you could just kind of listen to what was going on. Well, I don't know if it was their intent, but there was this one guy in Queens and New York was listening to it, and he was tweeting to the people that were at the raid what they were planning and the police were going to do. So the FBI anti-terrorism agents raided the Queens, New York home of a self-described anarchist charged with tweeting protesters with instructions on how to evade police at the Pittsburgh G20 summit. And I'm going, this is public information. You know, this is out, you know, they do this intentionally. You know, it's public airway, public information. It's on, you know, but you can't use it. You can have a cell phone, you just can't use it. You know, you just, I remember there were events in 2004. Yeah, it was World Health Organization in Washington, Oregon, when they had it there in Seattle, I think it was. They were arresting people. They had a cell phone. They arrested them because they had a cell phone, you know, because they can't. You know, I just, well, thanks for bringing that up. Thanks for the call, Gene. I'll get to that person and have them come up because I give you the spiel real quick on the thing that we learned so I can keep my promise. That they did at the Arizona Breakfast Club. When you take out a mortgage, when you buy a home, there's, and I'm going to be really bad. Donna, get ready to help me out here because, you know, funky words. You have a mortgage. That is like the deed of trust. That's like the collateral to the, it's like the title of your car or something, right?
I'm just as confused as you are on all these terms. But yeah, there is, all I can say is there's one instrument that is the collateral. The other one is the terms of that loan. And then there's another piece that we just found out, the allonge, that ties those together.
Okay, so you have a loan with a bank. You have the mortgage, you know, the collateral you know, for that. You know, they're kind of tied together because you can't really have a loan you got to pay unless you know what you're paying it on. I mean, you know, it's like your car title or something, all right? The obligation to, and then they keep it, and then when it's paid off, you have a mortgage burning party or you get the actual title of the house or whatever. Now, between these two, this allonge is a piece of paper that is the binding of these two documents, all right? This is like, so when you change ownership of some bank or something, that allonge will say, okay, now it's, you know, Joe Schmo over here. What they did is when they went to this MERS thing, this mortgage electronic registration service or something, just made up out of thin air. It's kind of, it's an Excel spreadsheet. That's all it is. Some guy sitting there, you know, electronically computerized, you know, turning your mortgage into a number that can be traded as a financial instrument. That's what all of this trading was being done with mortgage securities.
I just wanted to add as well that I believe it was made up by Fannie and Freddie.
Oh, okay. That's right. That's right. So these are all Freddie and Fannie, because Tom Westbrook was making that point. He has four mortgages. He is landlord, and he goes, three of them have this MERS thing, and every one of them say this is a Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac compliant document. Okay, that was essential for them to be able to have the formatting for them to fill in the little fields on the Excel spreadsheet kind of deal. So they could do this, you know, rapid trading. I remember the Daily Show did a thing. They called it Cash Cow, and they had Samantha Bee, you know, one of their reporters. They're like, you know, on the Comedy Central, and they do better news than the networks. That's why they're so mad at them. But, you know, they make it funny and so on. Well, she was wearing a cow outfit. Had an udder on her belly and everything. She's going around. Ooh, how they call it high frequency trading. And these guys, they don't even know what the heck they were trading. It was just a financial instrument. They're just, you know, peeling off the cash, because every time they trade, you know, these firms, you know, they get to make money based on whatever. But the other guys that are holding this and trading it from bank to bank to bank, they're bookies. You know, they're just getting their cut. They're just, how fast can they trade it? And they couldn't do that unless they had a financial instrument that you didn't have to go down and record with the county recorder all the time and change this allonge deal. So they split the mortgage and the allonge in one area, made that a mortgage security. And then on the other side, you have the actual note. You know, that's the obligation to the bank. When you split those two, it cancels it. It doesn't work anymore. You know, I'm just, that's not how it works. You know, we got Jet calling in. Hey, Jet, man, I'm on the air. Yeah, I'll talk to you later. So Jet, he's in New York. He got the time wrong. Yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't tell me what was going on. But so when you split these, the note and the mortgage and the allonge, which is says this mortgage is connected to that note over there. What note? It's not there anymore.
It's also illegal for them to do it, and from what I understand, it's a Class 3 felony.
Yeah. See, that was another thing that we were... See, there's so much on this, and we need... I tell you what we need to do. I'm going to have Keith McKinney, Tom Westbrook, and John Stewart come in, and we're going to go ahead and do a radio show, and we're going to turn it into a video so that we can do graphics and charts and flow charts and show this, because it was so complex, and we got into it. It was a very interesting show. I'll call them. Donna called the three of those guys, tried to set it up for later this week. And what we'll do is we'll come in and discuss the legal ramifications of each one of these steps. When they did MERS, they created a faceless entity. That's just a recording thing. It's just an Excel spreadsheet. Who do you fire? Who do you sue? Who do you? And it gave the guys that have the note, it gave them, you know, a limited liability, a kind of a buffer. You can't go after them for predatory lending practices or fraud or all this other stuff. And that's how come these guys are showing up as a foreclosure entity to take your house. But because they split it up, they don't have standing. They're already paid off. There's nothing there. So there's no obligation. That's why this Kansas Supreme Court decision, and I asked, and I'm going, since when does a court come down on the side of any citizen? I mean, why would they, you know, they'd be dismissive. They don't ever want this to come out. Why? How in the heck did that happen? I'll tell you how. Because it was two banks that were suing each other. So all of a sudden, oh, dang it, now we're going to have to actually do law, you know? So I'm going, oh, I get it now, you know? So you had on both sides of this, you know, you had one bank that had foreclosed and got their goodies or whatever out of it. Then you had another bank that had the second on it and said, hey, you know, we get $90,000 of this or whatever. So now it goes to gone up to the Supreme Court, and they go, okay, well, let's find out who owns the property. Neither of you do. The debt was canceled. You screwed it up. 60 million loans. And this has yet to hit the system. I have good friends and they go, well, it must not have that much validity. It hadn't hit the financial market yet. You had 60 million homes. You know, this is huge. You know, this might have an impact, you think? I'm going, yes, I do. Now, either the markets believe that there's some kind of backroom, kind of like you know, Henry Paulson doing a deal to save AIG so Goldman Sachs can get their cut of the derivative money that, you know, went straight from AIG to Goldman Sachs. That's why they wanted to save AIG, because the money went straight to Goldman Sachs. It was OBI. You know, they created this thing. So I'm going, will they do the same kind of thing for this? Will they retroactively change a law to do blah, blah, blah? I wouldn't put it past them. And maybe the markets are anticipating that very thing. So what do we do? We need to understand it. That's for dang Skippy. But if they go in and they have the mortgage, all of a sudden Freddie and Fannie have taken over and they actually have kind of the mortgage, but there's nothing owed them, but they kind of have it, and you got 6-7 million empty homes with nobody living in them, where do they go? Does the government nationalize houses now? Are we Soviet Russia? Remember? You know, you get to live here. Are you going to buy some votes? You can get reelected because we're giving the homes back to the people, because we love the people. But I guarantee if they do something like that, you know, it's going to have some strings. I remember 92 Ross Perot saying, got to do away with Fourth Amendment protections. You know, we need to go and, you know, he's going to clean it up. Get under the hood, clean it up, because we'll just go through public housing and we'll just bust in the door. Because it's public housing. Belong to the government. We just go in and they don't have any rights. It's ours. We just go in and, you know, look for guns and drugs and do whatever. And I'm going, yep. You know, I can see where this is going. He was a little mini fascist himself. You know, nobody knew it. You know, they're not talking. I tell you this, whoever the media said, this is the savior, here's the guy, this guy right here, he's the guy, it ain't him. There is going to be some big giant national going to save us, you know, and they'll say, you know, this is the guy, that ain't it. Who are they pushing? I mean, I'm not even paying attention in lamestream media, but I can see who's kind of filtered out that's doing, you know, kind of, he's representing, you know, the rise up of the people. The rise up. Who's that person? Glenn Beck? If they're saying he's it, he ain't it. Okay? He ain't it. But they'll, and how do I know this? Because they say he is. That's how I know. It's not that complicated. So, after we get off here, I'm going to go down to it's right down the street from here. It's probably less than a mile and a half, 2 miles away. I'm going to run over real quick to the Phoenix Police Union. And I'm going to say, look, you know, my name is, you know me from, and where's that one officer that doesn't want to take a shot? One. I only need one. Looking for one. I'll put up 300 signs to find one. Then what? Am I going to get the cruiser parked in front of my house? Won't be the first time. You know, and this is the kind of thing, I tell you where the danger is in the examples of the stuff that I do. It inspires people to do something. Yeah, there's a lot of things. We've had, you know, big projects all over the country that people have done stuff. And they get in trouble. Because they don't really come at it from a sense of love. They get, you know, it's kind of a gotcha thing. And if you're not doing it with love, and you're not doing it with, you're just being open with, and you're not doing it, you want to help, or you're just exercising your rights, or you're one, you know, you don't make them afraid. If you're challenging their authority and you're just kind of thumping them in the sternum with your finger and everything, they react negatively. You will respect our authority, you know? And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm not even challenging it. You're assuming I care. Go be in charge or whatever. Oh, you want me to do it here? Okay, everybody get the videotape. They're, you know, jackbooting me. I mean, you know, whatever. Now, I am I allowed not to care? I just don't care. I'm not, you know, can you have enough self-esteem to, you know, let them be, you know, the jackboot stomping the left jackboot or the right jackboot or the jackboot on your throat party. You know, I'm like, whatever, what's the difference? I don't try and challenge it that way. You challenge them, put little daisies in their barrels, okay? You go, look, we want to help you. How are you going to react to this? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? I mean, because I'm going to do it. Now what? You know, what's your response to this? I'm going to do it. What's your response? I'm going to do it. How are you going to do it? I'm going to do it. So now what? You have other people around the country will do the same kind of stuff. You watch. And when they do, if they don't do it right, or a lot of times they have agent provocateurs, or they have people that, you know, be bad example, and there'll be 100 people doing this in 100 communities with all kinds of support, but there'll be that 101st one, guy walking around wearing a camo floppy hat and his one polished tooth, and they'll be going, oh, yeah, well, I just wore the yoo-hoo, and that boy's on CNN. What if you don't care? What if, because you have the alternative media, which they believe more in anyway. You know, these young kids are going, they're going, well, if you didn't have it on Fox or CNN or MSNBC and the whatever show, they're going, the who? They don't even know who you're talking about. They don't care. They're looking at, you know, the Facebook. You know, they're having, you know, the Break the Matrix guys, you know, came out of the revolution. You know, they're the only Fox they watch is Fox Online for Judge Napolitano. You know, this is, and they're seeing that it's growing. And we had, was it Shelley Roche on? She's on there a lot and being kind of their high techy interface with the internet. And she's going, look, you know, our numbers are more than some of their broadcast shows. Just listen to us on the internet, you know, watching us on the internet. So I'm going, you know, they're going to be making an offer. We're going to get you this and promise and do and whatever if and kind of, you know, vanity, my favorite sin. You know, I get that stuff all the time. But what if you know on your deathbed, it's kind of that Braveheart thing. Would you on your deathbed? Yeah, you may live. You may get, you know, prosper. They may give you a nice house and a car and whatever, you know. But would on your deathbed, would you, you know, trade all of that to come back just for one chance, one chance? They give a finger to the man and challenge him. I already know I would, so that's what we're doing. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and Donna in the control room. Be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
You know, me and the boys got to get together. We're gonna do that. We'll videotape that. I like that song. Wee-haw. I am the man of constant sorrow. I hate to have to share this with you, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, what is that light? It is, you know, complete and total immersement and understanding. Man, it is jacked up. You know, I've been, imagine this. I've been in this since... 88, 89, when my wife and I first started getting, you know, wow, seriously. You know, we just had our fourth child, you know, Sierra, our youngest, she's almost 20. You know, she's be 20. Man, that's coming up close. It's this month, right? 26. Now I knew that. See, that's what she's for. That's what moms are for. They remember birthdays. Plus, we got little samplers on the wall and everything. If I need to know, I go up there. I just need to know what month. What happened is that when we became aware of this, we were in a totally different mindset. I happened to get behind the scene, and there was a law that they had just passed called the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act of 1988. And it was Daddy Bush, first thing he did when he got in there, and you start finding out who these guys are. I mean, all the corruption that you see now. All the stuff about, oh, Sabelle Edmonds. We'll get into that tomorrow. I read that thing in American Conservative. Have you read that yet, Donna?
Not yet, but I hopefully to get to it today.
Oh, I am, wow. And this has been going on for, so I knew, you know, this was going on back then. You know, I'm going, oh, it's so bad. What if you knew what was going to happen? What if you knew? that all this is going on. You knew by the time our kids got to be this age, or our age then, you know, by mid-20s and so on, we knew what was going to happen. It was inevitable. So what do? As parents, I mean, you start planning to move to another country, or surviving this, or saving this, or at least the only way you can do it is advocate for the freedom of everybody. I mean, you know, everybody. You know, you fog this mirror, you get to have human rights. I don't care if you're a legal immigrant or not. I don't care what country you're in. I don't care what religion you're in. If you can't recognize basic human rights and due process, and you don't do it. No, not them, because they don't have a national ID card that says America on it. I'm like, oh, please, man, you guys are killing me. You're missing the whole point. They don't go by borders. They don't go by ethnicity or religion. It's a global. Are you a cow? You're just livestock. Yeah, they don't care what side of borders you're on. It's all one thing to them. So you have to think that way. You know, encounter that. Going, look, human beings, and that's why, you know, a lot of times we get into the problems that we have because our Constitution requires that we, you know, it says all persons are. People are created equal. They're equal under the law, the Equal Protection Clause. They don't say U.S. citizen. They say people. Because back then, it never even occurred to them that they're going to have all this welfare. That people are going to have, you know, some entitlement to something that's now like $70 trillion worth that is not going to happen. You know, I don't care who you are. I don't want you taking my stuff. So then it doesn't matter what side of, you know, border you came from or something. Get it? They keep doing this to distract you, to get you to beg for a national ID card. We got to get them Mexicans. And to get them Mexicans, I want to get RFID stamped. Put it in my, you know, hell, put it on my skin so we can get Mexicans. Damn Mexicans. See my point? You're just being manipulated. Stop. Stop. I'll let you go out with some Journey here. That's a good thing to do. We got a whole bunch to talk about tomorrow. I'll let you know how this went out with the police thing. We'll see you tomorrow. Declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. See you then.